You're listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July 30th, 2019. Oh, lucky you if you live in New York. Under existing federal law, gun dealers must wait 3 days before they can make a sale to you if you're not instantly approved by the federal National Instant Criminal Background Check System. So there is a national criminal background check system, which you keep hearing Democrats say they want. It already exists. And under existing federal law, gun dealers cannot sell it to you. You have to wait at least 3 days. A new law in New York, just signed by the governor, moves the 3 days to 30 days. It takes effect in September. Thugs and gangsters, oh, you don't have to wait at all. You get the gun. In fact, I would like to know. I want to see some numbers out of New York City. How many gun homicides, I'm not talking about suicide or accidental shootings, because they tend to put them all together when they talk about we need more gun control. I want to know how many gun homicides are linked to folks who purchased legally a weapon, be it waiting 3 days or going forward 30 days. Because the vast majority will be created by thugs and gangsters and killers who did not buy the gun legally. And probably stole it on top of that. And of course, we just had the shooting in California at the Gilroy Garlic Festival. It's a shame every time you have something like that. It is. But again, it came up tonight in the Democrat debate. What are you going to do? And they say, oh, we got to do what everybody says we need to do. We need national background check. I just told you, there is a national instant criminal background check system gun dealers must go through before they can sell it to you. But they got this gunman in California. He had an AK-47 variant. He bought it in Nevada. It would require a background check, so it was his legal sale. He also bought a shotgun from another gun store in Reno, Nevada. Again, a background check. It was legal. The gunman used the AK-47, the variant, I should say. Now, that weapon is illegal in California. You think he knew that? You think he knew that, well, I bought this gun legally. Now, if I take it in the state of California, I'm committing a crime. I'm illegal. And I just wonder, you think he wondered, is murder illegal in California? Nearly every mass shooter or high-profile shooter the past 15 years got the guns via a background check. The others stole the firearms. But of course, they would have you believe that keeping you from getting a gun will stop all of these other crimes. By the way, we were talking about Baltimore earlier, and we'll talk more about it later in this hour, but the Baltimore Fraternal Order of Police Lodge number 3, the president, urging police and residents, be careful as you go about your daily lives in the city. He said, Baltimore is a dangerous city. The utmost care and caution should be taken as you go about your daily task. He's selling that to the citizens and the police department. The police commissioner just released a plan to reduce crime in the area. But the city is about 500 police officers short, and 400 are needed in the patrol division. They point out that as it stands right now, they don't even have enough officers to respond to the number of calls to 911. Not to mention the addition of micro zones, which the commissioner wants to put together, and community engagement. He said, I want you to kind of get out of your car. I want you to spend 15 minutes of every hour talking to the folks that'll help reduce crime. And of course, when you talk about gun control, you see what's happening in Chicago. Weekend after weekend, more deaths. And tough to get a gun in Chicago, like New York. There were a couple of women They were volunteers for a group called Mothers Against Senseless Killings. I don't know really what their specific stand was on guns, but the title of their statement is Mothers Against Senseless Killings. That's pretty hard to argue against. And nothing in that talks about gun control, just we're against senseless killings. And I would only add that every killing or majority would be senseless. But two of these mothers were volunteers, this group, and they were, that group had volunteered to take back one of the corners that had been controlled by gangs. And they would show up as peacekeepers at this corner. They would show up and stand around and try to remind everyone, let's have peace in the city. Let's love each other. Let's quit shooting each other. And here came an SUV rolling up, and someone inside opened fire at those two women standing on that corner, knowing damn well they were targeting women who were trying to bring peace to their city. Gunned them down, killed both of them. One was a mother of three children, the other a mother of two. The police department says we found both women down on the sidewalk. They killed two of the women that were standing on the sidewalk saying, we're taking it back from our gangs. And in fact, I told you the other day, a legislator in Chicago, city legislator, got her car caught in a crossfire of some kind of gang's war and said, I'm going to go door to door and I'm going to get people registered to carry and conceal. Because now this happened to her, she realized we need something done. And more gun control laws is not it. We need protection. And cops cannot be on every corner. And then we have the issue of illegals in this country that are committing crime after crime after crime. And everybody would have you believe, well, hey, you know, some of them are really good people. They might well be. But they want to ignore these crimes. A 49-year-old illegal currently is being held in Alabama. Now, he was arrested for a traffic violation in December 2010. They didn't deport him. They let him go on a $300 bond. So he hung around. And now he's charged with raping a child under the age of 16. How young, they don't say, other than under the age of 16. He's only charged at this point. But here's an illegal who should have been deported after that traffic violation, but had not been. Had remained in the country for 9 years. Now, that's a charge. In the meantime, near Calexico, California, Border Patrol agents caught a guy coming across. They stopped him, and they took a good look at him, ran DNA and everything else, and they found out that this guy had a 2014 conviction in Utah for three counts of sexual abuse of a child. Conviction, not charges. He spent 12 months in prison. And then Immigration and Customs did deport him as an aggravated felon in 2005. And here he came back. He had entered the country illegally again. Anybody in San Francisco, that sanctuary city, want to open your house, your children's bedroom to this guy? You want to take care of these illegals? And in the meantime, the angel moms, these are the folks who have lost a loved one. A spouse, a son, a daughter, because of illegal activities by illegals in this country. One of them losing her 32-year-old police officer son, killed by a drunk illegal going the wrong way. And last week, the actress Alyssa Milano broke down on camera, or acting, watching a footage of a child at a U.S.-Mexico border being reunited with the adult that brought her to the country. And she sobbed on the camera, I just watched this video of a baby being reunited with her mom. What the F are we doing? We're destroying lives. We're destroying children's lives because of F and arbitrary lines in the sand. This cannot be normal. The angel moms watching that tearful rant said, how about you step up and shed tears for those of us who have had our loved ones killed by illegals who came into this country? And how about you cry tears over the children who are trafficked here and probably sold off in sex slavery if they are still being used at all. No response from the actress. I mentioned earlier tonight at the Democrat debate, they were asked to stand and honor a national anthem. And they did. Kept their hands over their heart. No one kneeled. No Colin Kaepernick. And now Reverend William Owens, president of the Coalition of African American Pastors, has published an open letter to the former NFL quarterback, especially over his issue with the Betsy Ross flag on a shoe. He said, I recognize your passion in taking a stand for something important. Quote, nevertheless, the effect of your protest and comments regarding the American flag has been to persuade millions of your countrymen that you hold this nation in contempt. In other words, saying, you, by your protests and comments regarding our flag, is persuading millions of Americans to believe you hold this nation in contempt. Yes, Pastor, you're right. And then he said, I urge you to abandon your campaign and focus your energies on activities that will directly help black Americans. Amen, Reverend.
Larry Connors, USA, News and Commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers that opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This is Larry Connors, USA, News and Commentary.
Well, the ruling came as Democrats have been trying to tie the Trump team to illegal activity in Russia, as you know, despite Robert Mueller's findings and testimony recently. They continue to insist there's got to be something. Well, today, a federal judge in frank terms dismissed a lawsuit by the Democrat National Committee and said, basically, your argument is entirely divorced from the facts. So the case is thrown out. Now, they may try to come back around because that's what they're going to do is resist. A Republican senator, Steve Daines of Montana, introducing a resolution today for what he called a failed experiment at socialism. He authored this resolution. He said, this is going to be a choice between freedom and socialism. We are born free, as the president said previously. We will stay free. America will never be a socialist country. So Senator Daines wants to bring that resolution to the floor and anticipates full support from his Republican colleagues. And he said, I think every member of the U.S. Senate should be on record for this resolution to condemn socialism. He calls it chilling, concerning. Absolutely. Iran is indicating, despite all of its talk, we are not going to talk. We're not going to do anything. We're going to refuse any efforts to talk until we get what we want and the sanctions are lifted. Now the word is coming out of the state-run news agency. Iran is open to, quote, unconditional resolution of regional issues. It wants to open talks with its longtime regional rival, Saudi Arabia. The U.S. sanctions on the oil industry severely crippling Iran. Yes, as already noted by some experts, Trump's sanctions are working. In the meantime, North Korea firing more projectiles because they see the Trump-Kim talks recently stalling. And they say, well, we're going to go back to doing our missile thing. Well, it's not really the kind of missiles they were firing earlier, but we're taking note of it. And, of course, they said, well, we were going to stop it, but we're going to do this and do this. And Trump had said, when we see clear evidence that you're doing what we want, then we will move forward. He's not bending. He's not drawing a line in the sand and say, oh, okay, never mind. Forget that line in the sand. We'll draw another one for you. You remember one president who did that. In the meantime, South Korea says it might contribute troops to the U.S. Maritime Security Initiative to help protect oil tankers and other commercial vessels from Iranian aggression in the Strait of Hormuz. The Fed preparing to cut the interest rates for the first time in a decade. The president has been saying they've raised the rates too high too quickly. We need a cut. You can expect tomorrow at least a quarter of a percentage point cut. That will probably be it. But I think it's going to placate the president. I think it's going to catch the markets on fire again. So I have to ask you, what's in your wallet? That's what Capital One always asks, right? Well, about 140,000 Social Security numbers and 80,000 bank account numbers are at risk because somebody got into Capital One's records. Now, they're identifying it as a 33, I don't know why they identify it this way, but a 33-year-old transgender woman. Now, I don't know why they put that in there unless it has some underlying story as to why it was done, got inside, compromised the information, and sent it out on a data sharing site. 100 million credit card applicants' information possibly breached. So it may not be a question of what's in your wallet, but who's in your wallet? Senator Warren, of course, on stage tonight at the Democrat debate. And, of course, they all like to bash Trump best they can. She made a point to do it in a Toledo speech. She said, I think what Trump has done over the past couple of days is despicable. Trump hopes that he can just throw some racism, some really ugly stuff, that everyone will pay attention to that instead of paying attention to what a failure he is. Well, now, Senator Warren, jobs at an all-time high, unemployment for all minority groups, all-time low. Businesses are going crazy. I had someone send me a post on one of my Facebook pages saying, I wish Trump would slow down a bit because I'm so busy I cannot stay ahead. I'm here working at 4 a.m. in the morning listening to your broadcast, your podcast. Now, I don't have time to go to my family because we're trying to fulfill orders. That would be calling making America great again. Oh, by the way, leftist comedian activist Kathy Griffin, you know, the one that held up a blood-soaked replica of President Donald Trump's face. And she got kind of flack over it right away because it looked like Trump's head. She immediately apologized, saying, I'm sorry, I went too far. I was wrong. But eventually she flip-flopped, claimed the image does not bother her. And then she began to realize, well, good luck with that, Kathy, what it means for you and your audience. She's telling the Associated Press, the fallout has left me unemployable, uninsurable. She has a feature film that she's put together called Kathy Griffin, A Hell of a Story. And she said, it's raw, ugly Kathy, no makeup, crying. She said, I've been trying to do it as a standalone comedy special. Nobody would even look at it. But she's hoping now she'll get some attention for it. Because by her posing with Donald Trump's head in her hand, dripping blood, it left her unemployable and uninsurable. Gotta be Trump's fault, don't you think?
You're listening to Larry Connors, USA. To text the show, it's 855-282-8255. It's
855-282-8255. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So before this hour is over, we're going to talk about how Rand Paul is also now being called a racist. And there's a challenge to Congresswoman Omar. Wait till you hear who's going to be running against her. And a North Carolina gun shop billboard. It's funny. They're not going to like it, but it's funny. And more on the Baltimore issue. And the Dems who insist they are all about diversity, not so. We got proof from fellow Dems. Now, I had put on Larry Connors USA Facebook last week that some changes are coming to the program. I've talked about it a little bit in the last hour. Some of the comments, I was flooded. I thank you. It looks like almost 1,600 reached just by that one post, not counting others that have come in since. 287 engagements for all of that means more than 30 comments. Comments like, Adam, I can't wait to hear new details. Steve, great for you, cannot wait to hear. Mark, do what you have to remain on the air. I'd sure hate to lose your program. Frida, you have a powerful voice many of us want to hear. Bev, I look forward to listening to you live during the day. Marsha, following Larry sounds good. Rick, sounds like great news. We'll keep ears open for it. Jennifer, love your show. Virginia, can't miss listening to your wonderful words. Thank you. And Karen just says, wish you well. Patrick, good. Chris says, Gary says, we'll follow you wherever you end up. So here's the deal. Timetable still being locked down, but in September, probably the second Monday in September, this program will move to KXEN 1010 on the dial. That's a 50,000 watt station. And hopefully also to 920 WGNU. Both stations being purchased by Berry Broadcasting. And they've asked me to move my program there, and they're going to put me on from 11 to 1 up against Rush Limbaugh. And I'm looking forward to that. And also maybe 11 to 2, where it's still being worked out. So you'll be able to hear the program during the day, and of course we'll continue to put everything up on podcast, and we're looking at building a regional network from that position and even beyond. But I will stress to you, the only way this has been successful to this point, I've been doing it now for 5+ years, is because of you. You and your input, and even those who are detractors and don't like me, you add your comments, your thoughts, you're part of the program. You contribute. Even if you're condemning me or you're against me, that's fine. We're glad to have you in the house. You're welcome into the tent. We can all have a difference of opinion. We just do it in a civil fashion. But that's what's coming, and I'm looking forward to it. More details will probably be released tomorrow publicly, but for this audience, you got it direct from me, and you can pull up the podcast. Lucas will have these podcasts up shortly after we go off the air this evening, and you can listen again and share it with others. I encourage you to share it with others. And that's just on Larry Connors USA Facebook, some of those comments coming in. I got similar comments at my personal Facebook, and I just, again, Tom says, love to hear you clear, loud, and often. Oh, and one of them said, my husband will be happy. Does that mean she's not? No, it doesn't. All right, let's take a break, come back. Let's talk about the Democrats' diversity or lack thereof.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA on 590 The Fan.
John Bill Roofing paying out $10,000 cash. The money goes to the top three winning teams of the World Record Washer Tournament, October 13th at the St. Charles Family Arena. They're trying to get the most players ever at the same time, setting a world record. Bring the family, enjoy a car show, barbecue contest, live music. All proceeds go directly to the USO of Missouri. Register usoday.com, usoday.com.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA. To call in locally, dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590.
Mustang Sally, guess you better slow than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the Democrats will have you believe we're all about diversity all the time. Take note of this. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, under intense pressure, growing concerns about diversity, to the extent that two of the top staffers resigned yesterday. Yes, the chairwoman has been facing complaints from the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. They've been unhappy with the lack of minority representation on the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. I think she's racist. She's racist, and all the other Democrats that are white are racist. Congresswoman Fudge, Democrat of Ohio, said in the DCC, the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, there is not one person of color, black or brown, that I'm aware of at any position of authority or decision making. It is shocking. It is shocking, and something needs to be done about it. Why didn't they just flat call them racist? Well, they're fellow Democrats. They kind of don't like to do that, but heck, they've called Biden a racist. They've called Nancy Pelosi a racist. So they have, according to Politico, at the beginning of the meeting yesterday, the chairwoman resigned and left the session immediately. And the domino effect continues. In the next 10 hours, much of the senior staff was zong, gone, zippo, bye. Don't let it hit you on the way out. They were absolutely gone. According to The Hill, one lawmaker called the mass shakeup last night a Monday night massacre. And one lawmaker said, you know what? This is the chair campaigning as all things to all people, telling blue dogs one thing, telling progressives another. So inevitably, once in office, she's going to disappoint them. But here's the deal. They want to push and tell you they're all about diversity all the time, when they're not. They're not. It is white women in control when it comes to Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, to the extent that Congresswomen Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley say, why are you picking on us all the time, the women of color? So they're shaking up the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee at this point going into the next election. You gotta love it. Gotta love it. Baltimore, we were talking about earlier, the problems with Baltimore. And, of course, Trump got labeled a racist because he told Elijah Cummings, rather than complaining about conditions at the border, making them up, absolutely, not even telling the truth, why don't you take care of the problems in your own backyard in your city of Baltimore? Now, I will repeat again, it is not the specific duty of a congressman to take care of specifics in a particular city. But if you've got a city that's been well documented with crime, poverty, rodent despair issues, as a congressman, should you not step in to help your constituents? See, Trump actually, by making this, has made it very clear. You got a problem in that city. You're not doing anything about it. And actually, if you really think it through, it said you stole the race card out. He's helping those residents because no one else has been speaking out for them if they need help. Oh, they've been out there pounding the door trying to reach Cummings and other, hey, we need this one. Yeah, I'll get to you. And now they're in the spotlight. So maybe something will be done. But, of course, the other key that comes with this is, well, we need money. We need more money. If we had money, we could do it. From December last year, Trump focused on Baltimore with $16 billion in federal grants for just 1 year. $16 billion just for Baltimore. That is on top of what Barack Obama did during his administration. In a 2009 stimulus to Baltimore, $1.8 billion just for Baltimore. Oh, you know they loved it. Obama's taking care of us. Everything's good. What the hell happened to that money? That Democrat-controlled city didn't see any of the fortunes turn around, despite $1.8 billion, $26 million aimed at crime prevention. And right now, their homicide rate is higher than many Central American countries, 56 per 100,000, higher than Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala. 26 million to revitalize vacant buildings, and the buildings are everywhere dilapidated, crime and drug and insect and rodent infested. Has Cummings walked down any of those streets at any point in his life? 9 million to tackle homelessness. That's just part of 1.8 billion. What the hell happened to the rest of it? And then you got the money last year from the Trump administration, $16 billion in federal grants for 1 year. What are they doing with this money? Well, they're not spending it on the people, or people are getting in between and sucking it up. That's what's happening. The people that need the help are not getting it. I will never forget, as a anchor reporter at a local TV station, I had evidence that a black legislator, state legislator, was not living in his district. Well, you have to live in your district to represent it. Turns out he had a girlfriend's house. He was having all of his mail and everything sent to her house, and he didn't really live there. His house was basically still with his wife because he couldn't quite separate from her at the time. So he was not living there except on, a little late-night call or something. And so we went to interview him, and he disappeared. And I followed into Jeff City. And the rules of the chamber are, if a representative is on the floor of the chamber, you cannot approach them. You cannot step onto the floor unless you're invited. Well, he was not going to be coming off the floor as long as we were there. In fact, he got a big newspaper and hid himself behind it for his arms had to get tired. We sat there for a good 2.5 hours waiting for him to move and get out of that chair. And he just kept his head down in the paper, which I thought, well, that's so stupid. They all know who you are, what you look like. Why do you want to cover up who you are? You put your face on all your campaign. But he certainly didn't want to answer questions. And I got criticism from some of the black residents in his area. I said, well, I don't get it. Don't you deserve a representative who serves you and lives in your area? I mean, are you really willing to take a carpetbagger, basically, to run your city, or you're part of your city and you don't mind if they live somewhere else? Aren't you entitled to the same thing white folks are, other people are? Why aren't you wanting what should be entitled to you? But yeah, I got called a racist, because I was calling him out. I have done it in the past in Texas numerous times with white legislators. They were doing the same little round-the-fence visit. And nothing to do with the race. It had to be the fact, one, the state law. Secondly, he's not properly, duly representing his own constituency. And too many of them, either on the take, or they're just going to buy the lie, or they just don't care. They're just going to say, well, you had to be coming after him because of his color. No, it had nothing to do with that. His color meant nothing to me. The fact is, where he lived and what he was telling to the state, and the fact that his residents in that district were not being properly, duly represented. But I don't care how good you are. Sometimes you're going to be called a racist. Rob Reiner, the Hollywood actor and movie producer we had in the last hour, pointed out that if you were a Trump supporter, you're enabling a racist, so you're a racist. And Rand Paul is also being called a racist. Oh, it gets better. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, we're getting more reaction coming in regarding the future of this radio show and making a change to a daytime slot on KXEN 1010 and possibly WGNU 920, 11 to 1 weekday. And one message coming to the tip line, text line, I should say. All right, Larry, looking forward to it. Well, so am I. So am I. So Congresswoman Omar says Rand Paul is a racist. Senator Rand Paul is a racist. He had targeted Omar last week, her and the other members of the so-called progressive squad, in talking about Trump's remark about they should go back to the infested places where they came, show us how it's done. I'm not going to go through the whole litany again about Trump and how he's misstating and so forth. Aside from that, Paul was saying, I'm not saying we forcibly send her anywhere. I'm willing to contribute to buy her a ticket to go visit Somalia. I think she can look and maybe learn a little bit about the disaster that is Somalia. And she was born in Somalia, spent much of her early life in a refugee camp in Kenya. She got asylum with her family in 1995. She has since become a U.S. citizen, now a U.S. congresswoman. Rand Paul said Somalia had no capitalism, no God-given constitutional rights. Said maybe if Omar went and saw that, she might come back and appreciate this country more. Well, that just doesn't sit well with a congresswoman. She said, imagine being Rand Paul's next-door neighbor and having to deal with Rand Paul lying cowardly about some bullcrap about lawn clippings. Remember that little problem he had with his neighbor? That has nothing to do with it. You talk about being a jerk reaction and just petty. It just shows how small she could be. I think, is she concerned about children at the border? Is she concerned about children in Minnesota that are not getting all the meals they need and the crime and the rat and flea-infested areas of her neighborhood? Is she doing anything about that? Or she just wants to parade around and act like she's someone special? Because she is a U.S. congresswoman, right? And that brings to the forefront what Nancy Pelosi even has suggested against members of the squad. They, as she said, they have their little Twitter things and they have their votes, four of them. That's about it. In other words, she's dismissed them. And, of course, they labeled her a racist. Nancy Pelosi. Because she was dumping on or challenging or whatever word they want to choose on the four freshmen women who are all of color. But Nancy Pelosi is now the racist, and now Senator Rand Paul. And are any of them doing the job they're supposed to be doing, or are they just busy being celebrities? I mentioned to you the other day that a black Republican woman is going to run against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she said specifically because AOC is not doing anything for us. All she is doing is making all of her luncheons and her TV appearances, and that's it. Well, now Congresswoman Omar is going to face a challenge. His name is Chris Kelly. He's a white man, if you care. He's a celebrated Iraq War veteran. 11 military medals, 27 years with the U.S. Army and Army Reserves. More than 36,000 hours patrolling the Minnesota streets as a 20-year vet of the Minnesota Police Department. And now he's thinking, I'm going to run against her in 2020 in the 5th Congressional District. He's basically saying September 11 was a terrible loss of life, not just for police officers, firefighters, other first responders, but 3,000 people and noncombatants died, and to be dismissive of that was an outrage. He's talking about when Omar was saying, well, on 9/11, something happened. Something happened? She said some people did something? That's how she dismissed the September 11 attacks, because they were carried out by Muslim jihadists, and she's Muslim. I'm not saying she's a jihadist, but she kind of dismissed the September 11 attacks simply as some people did something. I wonder how that sounds for those standing over the graves of those they were able to find and bring out, or even parts of them. So anyway, Chris Kelly now says, I'm going to run. I've got my sights set on taking that seat away from her. Now, I hope to hell he does. I hope he does. I mean, here's a guy that's given to his country. He loves his country. Oh, but Larry Omar, she loves her country too. Really? Well, then why don't you act like it? Why don't you praise this country, talking about all the good things? You can still be divisive, I mean, be debating a civil way, but you don't have to be name-calling every time something doesn't go your way, like calling Senator Rand Paul racist and others. You can have your difference of opinion. You're entitled to do that. Chris Kelly fought for your right to do that. It's our First Amendment right. But if you don't love the country, if you hate it so much, if you want it to be socialist, go to a country that's socialist. Enjoy it there. Or, as Rand Paul said, I'll send you back to Somalia. Take a look at it. Wonder how she would love surviving there. She would not. She would not. So here comes a North Carolina gun shop in Murphy, North Carolina. That's 240 miles west of Charlotte. They have a billboard up advertising Cherokee Guns. Has photos of Congresswomen Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib. Now, they have been collectively labeled the squad by Nancy Pelosi. And so they put all four of these Democrat minority congresswomen on the billboard with the label idiots. And then when the photo went up on the internet, here came the complaints. The slogan on it reads, the four horsemen are idiots. Signed, the deplorables, Cherokee Guns. Well, the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence called that ad dangerous. And saying, basically, you might encourage somebody to go shoot these women. That's not at all what they're doing. Not at all. But they're going to read into it what they want. But again, they say threats against members of Congress, particularly minority members, are rising. It is driven by the president's racial rhetoric. In the last hour, if you missed it, in the last hour, I told you how Al Sharpton has been blamed for a fire in the Bronx, I want to say in the late 90s, because of a business that was going to change or leave. And they was basically saying, we will burn it to the ground before it moved. And there was a fire, and seven people died. He also encouraged riots and so forth in other cases. And, of course, then you have somebody with a gun who went and attacked some congressmen, Republicans, found that they were playing baseball practice on a field, unarmed, went out there and started opening fire on them. And I cannot recall a single Democrat coming out and saying, that was wrong. Maybe they did. But simply putting this up there, the four horsemen are idiots, signed the deplorable Cherokee Guns. They want to say that's a direct threat, violent rhetoric in North Carolina. No response from the gun owner company. They did put up a post offering Four Horsemen Cometh bumper stickers. And they put out on a post, simple, eat a piece of bacon, tell us you're voting for Trump in 2020, and get your limited edition bumper sticker. It did say, snowflakes and liberals are not eligible for this deal. They wouldn't be found near the gun shop. All right, so tonight we broke the news of what's going to be happening with the program coming up in September. We'll see what happens here over the next few weeks. But I, again, thank you for your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.